Keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional. It's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.
Good evening, Gator Nation. Welcome to the Gator Panel. It's been a few years since we've done this, so we are very, very pleased to bring this back for you guys. I want to introduce everybody. My name is Dan Thompson with Stadium and Gale, and then Shelton, and then Nick, then David and Corey. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Shelton with High Top Sports, boys and girls. Let's get it.
You literally gave everyone's name.
Well, you can introduce yourself. This is a great opportunity to plug yourself. Who knows? You know? High Top Sports, Gators Breakdown, Stadium and Gale, the Gator Panel back. We do want to give a shout out to a sponsor of the Gator Panel this week or this year. It's sponsored by the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Firm, which is a highly respected St. Pete, Florida-based law firm. Comprised of attorneys that are going to help you with homeowners and business owners with insurance disputes, property damage issues, personal injury cases, criminal defense. Most importantly, there's a lot brewing out there in the tropics right now. So for whatever it might be, if one of those storms, which we're hoping it doesn't, but if one of those storms comes to the state of Florida, they can be there to help you. So with decades of combined experience and unique insight into both prosecuting and defending insurance claims, they are dedicated to standing up for you. So again, that is the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Firm. You can reach them at 855-652-1377. All right, gentlemen, season starts on Saturday. It is LIU Hate Week.
Amen to that.
Anybody have any hot takes? Hot takes going into LIU. Let's just get them out of the way. Nick, what's your hot take this week? What do you want?
50 burger.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I want a goose egg. I want a goose egg for the Sharkies. I saw the defensive lineman they posted on the graphic. I got to tell you, I think I could have looked better in the photo. No hate towards the kid, but I just feel like there's, if that's your best guy you're throwing up there to advertise for the week, they better not score. They better not get past the 50. Okay, that's my guy,
the number 5 jersey with his rolls hanging over.
Yeah, look. No hate towards the kid. You know, we're not. No. Only fat shame Nick here. Okay, so I'm not gonna do all that. But I just felt like we could have a more physical frame for their thing there. You know, you look great, Nick. By the way, I'm glad bullying works, boys.
You got Nick in the gym.
We gave him some smack for his dad bod earlier.
In the hospital for a month and a half.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works.
All right. So we want 50 burgers. We want shutouts. Nick.
Yeah. I don't know much about LIU. I think they've got like a little bit around. They have around 60 guys on the team. I said this on Stadium and Gale. At practice, I'm watching Florida do special teams. And LIU will have to kick off the ball at least once. And then whoever walk-on freshman is the gunner on their kickoff cover team, I can't imagine what he looks like physically in terms of size, weight. But on the right side of Florida's kick cover team, kick return team, is George Gums, Aaron Childs, and Tyreek Sapp. And at that point, if I'm the freshman gunner at LIU, I'm pulling a cramp. As soon as I hear foot hit ball, no, my hamstring. I don't know that I'm running headfirst into that wall. I can't remember. Do you guys remember what the story was? Like, there was a different game scheduled for this week. Yeah. Something happened.
FAMU backed out. They had some other scheduling obligations, and then you're kind of left with a last minute who's available. And it was not with much time to schedule one of these games. Obviously, as we know, games get scheduled 3, 4, 5, 10 years sometimes in advance, which I want to get your guys' thoughts towards the end of the show. Don't let me forget, because Florida has a lot of games scheduled in the future that I don't think are going to get played that I was really excited about. So let's talk about that later. I think that LIU could be the worst team to ever come into the swamp in modern history.
Yeah, I think their Twitter was created a week ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys that look like me ain't gonna get it done.
Yeah. So. I just and that's no slight on those guys. I think Ron Cooper's their head coach. Rob Cooper is their head coach. An illustrious career as coaching defensive backs. But just in terms of the caliber of the school, this could be the worst team to ever go to the swamp, except for maybe FSU last season.
Hey, they got beat. They got beat by TCU last year, 45-0.
Okay.
So,
oh, kudos to them then. So this isn't their first rodeo going up against the big dogs.
Fake news, Shelton. LIU Sharks FB joined Twitter April of 2014.
Yeah, I was completely making it up. You. Nobody would ever fact check it. We could have kept rolling. Like that sounded awesome. And, like we were golden.
Facts will be checked. Just not mine.
We were golden.
Corey, what's your hot take for this game?
Score a lot of points, bro. Like, give me a shout out. Play a lot of people. Glorified scrimmage, you know, we get to beat on some people that's not us for the first time. So let's jump out early, get the young boys on the field. If there's position battles to be sorted out, this is another opportunity, you know, to climb the depth chart, but score a lot of points, shut them out, and let's get out of there injury free. That's it.
All right.
How many true freshmen score touchdowns in this game?
That's a good question.
We got VB3. We got Caden Daniels. We got Dallas Wilson, Dolly Wally. Can we shoot Deshaun?
Deshaun Montgomery.
I'm thinking four. Yeah. Then I think KD gets a bite. I think the Duke gets one, maybe possibly. I think the running backs are going to eat, and then any of those wide receivers.
Tremel a touchdown pass.
I was say Tremel. I was just about to say that. Yeah. We got options.
Maybe a Jaden Woods scoop and score.
That'd be sick.
Let's get creative.
All right, let's get into the season. That's ultimately what this panel's about. All right, guys, so this is kind of a make or break year, at least I think, in Billy Napier's tenure here at the University of Florida. Preseason top 15 team, a bunch of guys that we've talked about on all of our respective shows as finally having some guys for the SEC. What are your expectations for this season? We'll start with you, Dave.
Expectations all really are to pick up where you left off last year. I mean, I think that we got to prove that November wasn't a fluke last year. I don't think it was. You beat some good teams there along the way. And, you know, Lagway's on one leg basically doing all that. So, for me, it's proved like you belong. Yeah, you proved that you could play at that level in those last November. So, now it's time to go out there and do it again. And the expectation is I'm hoping, there's a word hope, that Billy Napier proves some – even me wrong in some regards. Going to your point, I like a lot of the talent on the roster. I think the roster is in a really good spot, and the biggest question still remains on the sideline if the guy can get the talent to the level of you know, playing at a level what we expect for this type of Gator team. So it's continuing leaving off from last year, and the expectation is, you know, to get some answers about the head coach along the way.
Okay. Corey.
Yeah, a lot of what Dave said, the offense taking that, the whole team taking that next step, but definitely the offense. Defense came on last year towards the end of the season. Seeing this offense really get into his RPO and lag way, because the previous two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks, we couldn't get into what Billy Napier's offense really looks like. So just taking that next step. You got all your full roster, none of Dan Mullen guys. You got All-Americans in the trenches. You got a quarterback that some people think has generational talent. There's no excuses around the roster. You know, defensive side of the ball, we're absolutely loaded. So it's just time to win football games. So for me, playoffs.
Nick?
Yeah, I think a healthy DJ Lagway for the full year, and I think this is a playoff team. Schedule is what the schedule is. They had the same one last year, basically. Swap out USF and UCF, and who would LIU swap in for? don't know. But a healthy DJ Lagway, I think anytime he's playing, Florida has a chance to win on Saturday. Really like the defense. Having watched practice more, my initial question of do they have depth, or I question the depth inside at defensive tackle, nose tackle. I think they do have more than I thought. And a ton of playmakers on the outside. So it's the best roster that Florida's ever had under Billy Napier. But I think a lot of it rides on the health of DJ Lagway, which I'm not very concerned about right now.
Yeah, I think the main expectation for me is for Billy to find his footing. We kind of saw Ryan Day. We saw Ryan Day do it last year. I think that's a big question mark for Penn State as well. Can James Franklin win the big one? I think the question for us, the expectation is, can Billy get him over the hump? Which is everything we're all kind of saying. But I think that we all know the pieces are there. The talent is there. Defensively, I think they can go up against anybody. It's just going to be, again, we go back to that Tennessee game, I think, is a prime example of Billy individually lost that game. I think the play calling wasn't that bad. It just kind of lost its rhythm at times. And that's what Billy struggles with and is, we all know, has struggled with throughout his time here. And so I hope that's something that he's worked on or figured out. I know people want him to do certain things and whatnot, but if he can take that next step, I think this team had the ceiling for them is tremendous.
Assuming no catastrophic injuries, because that's not something I like to talk about. Is it playoffs or bust this season?
No question. Yeah, I mean, look, the injury thing is always a weird one. You can't really take that into consideration when you're talking about how the season's going to play out. And in the same breath, you have to expect those things to happen to an extent. So you have to have some kind of backup plan. The whole thing just can't come falling down. When you get multiple, that's where maybe you can kind of, okay, this is just bad luck. And again, I know the question mark is DJ. Obviously, that's going to be a big hit, but I still think this team is a sound football team. And if with as much time as we've heard, the backups getting reps, if they go out there this year and it looks like Aiden Warner did last year, which was the third string, which was understandable because that's the third string quarterback. Anybody's third string would look that, I wouldn't even look. This is not a shot on Aiden. I mean, he got thrown into the wolves with a very limited playbook and still was able to, in a way, ball out in that Georgia game. Texas, he never had a chance. But this time around, I think they've done a great job of having solidified three healthy options if something were to go. So for me, DJ isn't going to be your out. Other players, if they start to happen defensively, that line, then maybe. But I don't think one guy makes or break it. People may not like that. I know they're all in off DJ goes down, this whole season's over with. If I know coach isn't going into that mindset, these players can't go in there. If you walk in with that mindset, the season's already lost.
Yeah.
We got a super 100%. Chat. Let me pull it up real quick.
Chris Sorley back at it again.
He's dialed in. Oh my God. Too early to talk.
We appreciate your question, Chris. I don't know. I think it's too early to talk about our head coach right now. At the end of the day, Florida's ranked 13th in the country right now. They've signed multiple top 10 recruiting classes in the country. You have a perennial all SEC, All-American type of pick in DJ Lagway at quarterback. You have one of the best offensive lines in the country. You have potentially one of the best edge groups. I think it's too early to talk about it now. But whenever it is time, I think all of us will collectively talk about it.
No question.
Yeah, for sure.
There's the PC answer, Chris. Yeah. I appreciate the super chat, though. All right, guys.
Yeah.
I want to bounce around a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. I thought we were going all around when playoffs are bust.
Go ahead.
It is for me. And look, that's not a Napier thing. Like, that's me, any head coach at Florida going into year four. In this world of college football, yeah, I'm expecting you to be competing for a college football playoff spot in year four. And then now add with what we actually do see with this team, it is playoffs or bust for me. And it isn't, I don't know what next year's team is going to look like, so this might be our time to strike. No, I like the makeup of this team. So I do think it's playoffs or bust. And look, with 9-3 and somehow miss the playoffs be a mark of improvement, sure it would be. But, man, it would be a hard pill to swallow to see this team go 9-3 with this schedule, somehow not get in. That would I'd have to see how that would play out first. But you know, 9-3 is the floor that where I feel really, really good about where this thing is heading still. But if you miss the playoffs and that, it's still going to suck. So yeah, it is playoff or bust.
Yeah. Corey.
Yeah. Playoffs or bust. A lot of what both of these gentlemen said, the roster is set. You know, we went through some grueling times of building this thing. We didn't go as transfer heavy as a lot of fans wanted to go for an easy, quick flip. He's been selling us on this approach. And I think the playoffs should be something the University of Florida competes in annually. I think that's like being ranked 12. I know we're spoiled as, you know, Gator fans, but, you know, finishing the season around 12 and they're about to expand it a little bit more, that should be the expectations of the University of Florida to be able to get into that. And the talent's there. He's had plenty of time. You know, it's just no excuses. And I'm with Shelton as well as far as the quarterback. Him going down is just this team has a loaded running back room. Aiden Warner, when he does get on the field, he's going to have some premier receivers to get the ball to in various different ways. So, yeah, it's not all predicated, and no team should be predicated around one player. If that one player go down, everything just goes up, you know, down the toilet. So, yeah, I'm with it. Play off a bus. That's where we at with it.
And then Nick.
I think it's you, Nick.
I think you kind of hit on it first. That's what brought the question up. So,
yeah, to me, the expectation from that I would have personally from quarterback one to quarterback two or three, like I'm definitely on a different wavelength there. Like that, my realistic expectations losing quarterback one for an extended period of time for what the team will do with quarterback. There's a depth chart for a reason. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like if something were to happen and you're on quarterback two in week two or week three, no, I don't expect the team to go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Not having DJ will affect your running game. And I do think they should be able to run the ball. But mm-hmm. a lot of that is because you have a quarterback who can hit a deep pass, a quarterback who has the threat to run, so you're playing 11-on-11. If you lose, and that's not just a Florida thing. Like Texas was an outlier last year. Not every school or any school has an Arch Manning just waiting, who's cool to like hang out and chill and just be a college kid and develop. Now you see guys who transfer in, transfer out, and then still are backups at their new school.
That was a shot there. I picked up what you're putting down.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I liked it. It was subtle. It was very professional.
There's not like USC back in the day. They just had guys who would – they would just get a five-star and he would sit for 3 years and then play a senior year and go. Or sit for 2 years, play a junior. Like, you don't have that anymore. Quarterbacks just leave. So to me, I expect if DJ Lagway is healthy, I expect Florida to be in the playoff. Without a shadow of a doubt, I expect Florida to be a playoff team if Lagway is healthy. If he's not healthy for an extended period of time, I wouldn't expect that. That's not to Shelton's point. Like, I don't play on the team. Like, if I'm in the locker room, that's not my mentality.
Yeah. But well, I'm part of the team, you know, Nick. So that's, you know.
Yes.
I mean, one of the expectations at university. One of the expectations is to have a quarterback room talented enough that if a guy go down, like the offense doesn't have a huge drop off. Aiden Warner being our backup quarterback, that's a choice and a decision. The coach has been here 4 years, and that quarterback room is what he's built. So if Lagway was to go down and the drop-off looks like it did last year when Aiden Warner comes in, to me, like it being a bust year is still on the table because in year four, your backup should be a guy that can tremendous drop-off from DJ Lagway.
Again, DJ is a special talent.
I don't know if that's a reality.
There's a gap, but if you can't...
Yeah, it's a reality because Aiden Warner's drop-off is tremendous. And I think...
Right. Like, but I'm saying course, it's, most teams, that's most not teams drop off your thing.
Well, it's Billy Napier because that's who he recruited.
Right. They literally got somebody in, which should tell you what they thought about the room. They got a guy in that they wanted to be a backup, and he looked around and left.
The guy that's a backup at Wake Forest, is that who you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever reason he left, that's still, like, he's responsible for the room. Like, so what's in the room? Like, if you go around the country, most SEC backup quarterback isn't going to be a guy from the Ivy League. It's going to be a guy that got, you know, whether regular recruiting, whatever it may be, but it's going to be a guy with a higher ceiling than what Aiden Warner. I'm not throwing any shots at Aiden Warner. That's just the room that we have, what we have, and he's the backup right now. So, he's responsible for that room. Regardless of how we got there, who left, how they left, you're responsible. You're the head man in charge. So whatever's in that room, that's your responsibility in year four.
I would argue.
I agree with that.
Seeing how things have shaken up, because we went and got Harrison Bailey after the backup to Wake Forest now left. Harrison Bailey wasn't before the backup to Wake Forest. He came after the fact, right? So that was an adjustment. So you could almost argue that given somebody else who left, who took a shot at us today, which we should talk about, names with Pack and Chyburn, that maybe he came
that
in and was
have,
like, hey,
that might not have been true, by the way.
Yeah, probably not. He competed. He was probably saying, hey, you're gonna have to compete with Aiden. Like this backup isn't guaranteed either. And so again, I don't know. I mean, guy's losing his job to Wake Forest. Who knows if he's gonna come in and be the guy right away. So I get your point, Nick, of like he was brought in, but at the same time, there was no quarterbacks in the room. So it was a depth piece on top of just a quantity piece at the same time, because you don't know what Tremell's coming in like. Obviously, he's coming off an injury. They needed more quarterbacks. They needed to add that fourth guy. So I get your point they felt that, hey, Aiden was – go ahead.
The disconnect for me is that, yes, I agree with what Corey said. It's on a coach. What your roster is on the coach. Every coach, position mm-hmm. coach, head coach. Buck stops at the head coach's desk. I just don't think it's a reality anymore to assume that you're going to have behind Tim Tebow, you're going to have John Brantley and Cam Newton. Like, that's not a thing anymore. Guys just leave. The transfer portal, you have two windows. Guys just leave. To develop that depth and then to expect, well, if the first guy goes down, my expectations for the season don't change because my coach should have a room full of guys that he recruited. That's just not the reality. So, like, that's where I'm saying, like,
I agree. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, because I want to move on to another topic, just because I want to be sensitive of time here. I think that the question is not necessarily how plausible is it to be to have stack five stars. I think the question is, what does your backup look like and why is it not as good as it could be? Right. It doesn't have to be Tim Tebow. It doesn't have to be Chris Leak to Tim Tebow to Cam Newton, but there's a lot of numbers in between, you know, an Ivy League three-star. But anyway, not to dog him, we kind of went down a rabbit hole. That's why I love this. You guys are knowledgeable about football. I do want to talk a little bit about
DJ Lagway. I thought Aiden Warner can spin it. I thought Nick was on board with Aiden. Now all of a sudden he's thrashing the kid. I don't – like, what day are we?
He's not DJ Lagway. Thrash.
There's nobody's DJ Lagway. If you go look at the best SEC quarterbacks in the SEC, it's DJ Lagway than everybody else. So –
well, how about this?
Let's talk about DJ Lagway. Let's talk about DJ Lagway real quick. How concerned are you guys? We've talked about this ad nauseum, but we're going to put our collective thoughts together. How concerned are we that he didn't really do much 11-on-11 since Tulane, right? I think a couple days ago is really the first time we've seen him have 11-on-11 since December 20th. So how concerned are you guys about DJ Lagway entering this season with limited practice?
Who goes first? Corey. Good call.
Oh, okay. Why not? Why not, man? It's not ideal. It's not an ideal situation. I think we beating a dead horse all offseason with this take, man. But it's not an ideal situation. You know, you want your starting quarterback to play spring. You want him to come into, like, you know, fall camp healthy, taking as many snaps as he can, but that's just not what it is. I'm just not concerned with DJ from a preparation standpoint. I think he's going to be, you know, ready. I think mentally he's going to be sharp. I think physically he's going to be, you know, any game we lose, I don't think it's going to be on, you know, DJ Lagway not being prepared and not having his game together. That's just where I'm at with the entire thing. I think DJ is going to be fine health-wise. We'll let it all play out. I also think, like, we don't have to lean on him. The run game, the defense, we should be able to play complementary football. This roster is good from top to bottom. So, yeah, man, I think we're fine at the quarterback position. You know, it was good to be able to get those backups reps, and I think that was important with DJ being down. You know, we were concerned about QB2, the way Aiden Warner looked last year. Tremell Jones could use all the reps he can, you know, coming in as a freshman. So, you know, if that scenario comes, like in camp sometimes, like camp presents things that happens during the season. So if injuries happen in camp, that's why I'm glad a lot of guys, not just DJ, when Eugene's banged up, he got to sit. You know, when whoever is banged up, you sit and you let the guy behind him play, because that's going to happen in the season. So you got an opportunity in camp to see when this player goes down, what does his backup look like? So we got a little bit of that. I think DJ's going to be fine this season, man.
Awesome. Shelton.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that the offseason kind of brings a little bit of taste to what the regular season could look like. Again, the regular season is not going to be perfect either. So that's a good point. And look, I think obviously, like Corey said, you don't want that situation to happen. In the same breath, when you go watch the games from yesterday, we got Avery Johnson, who, in my opinion, I think he's a great football player, but I don't feel like he made a massive stride from this offseason. Rocco Bett looked a little shaky. All these guys are going to come in and look a little bit shaky. The quarterback from Hawaii, true freshman, looked as cool as a cucumber. And the reason I bring that up is because when DJ Lagway came in last year, he looked cool as a cucumber. His in-game presence and his ability just to be a gamer it's not taught. And that's where I think a lot of people are concerned about. Well, when he hits the football field, something just switches in him and he's an absolute gamer. I know the concerns of chemistry. That's always going to be a factor, timing, et cetera. But at the same breath, the reason why there's such a big gap, it's not just because of his arm and his talent, but it's because of his mental process and his ability to prep for the game and prepare for the game. We heard when Coach Nape was talking about VB3 and his preparation for the game. There's a reason why, as a true freshman, he's being talked about the way that he is. It's not because of his physical attributes. Every guy on the roster has those physical attributes. It's what he does off the field. And that's what I think DJ is going to be able to make up for. And look, it could be one of those things we look at the end of the year, like, hey, it was a blessing in disguise because I was able to focus on little nuances that if I was throwing, I wouldn't. And I know that's an easy out. I think people have kind of heard me say that, and I'm always the Disney Gator-esque type, but this was the situation that was presented to us. Am I going to just like lag around? I'm like, it sucks. He's never going to throw again. Like, it's a waste of time. I think we also have a genuinely blessing in disguise that we get LIU and can warm up. Not to disrespect USF, I think that game needs to be appreciated, but it's not LSU or Miami or Utah to start the season off. Those things are going to grow. And even, I mean, Garrett Nussmeier is going into LSU. I promise you he's going to look rusty. Kay Klubnik's going to look rusty. Arch is going to look rusty week one against that swarming Ohio State defense. And he's been playing this entire time. Maybe he won't, but I think they probably will.
Okay. Dave, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's not your typical, you know, second year. I mean, he did have a lot of starts last year. He got to play a lot of snaps, too. So let's not forget that he has those to his arsenal already. And look, going to, you know, Corey's point, of course, yes, it would be ideal if he was out there spring and fall. But the creative ways that the staff came up with the way to keep him engaged, and he's out there as much as he can be. And I don't know how much difference that's going to make of him not being able to actually throw the live ball in the spring and then finally come along with 7-on-7 and then a little bit of 11-on-11, you know, starting a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. But maybe it is some orange and blue glasses here, but you know, we love what we have at quarterback. And I think we look at it in a way that says, hey, we're going to be fine here because if we go back to what we saw last year when he was just getting his infancy reps and what he was able to do with those. So I do think he can build on what he already did last year. And it may look rusty to begin with because that's just the nature of the beast right now. But you do get the cupcake opponents, going to Shelton's point. I think we'll go a long way. And by the time we go to LSU, I think, you know, going to another point, Corey, may you can lean on this defense in this run game if you have to. I don't think DJ Lagway has to be the Heisman quarterback game one, game two, and maybe even in Baton Rouge. I mean, you got to play well there, but I think with what Florida has around him, I think they can bring him along a little bit. So if he's A-okay and he's close to 100% and isn't missing a beat, I think that's, of course, better for Florida. Ridiculously, Florida may not need the 100% DJ Lagway at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Is he healthy, Nick?
Nick.
Yeah, really, really fortunate to not have Utah or Miami. I think from talking to people, there's been a lot of, and Corey mentioned it, a lot of prevent defense when it comes to protecting guys with injuries. I've been saying this for like a week now, but it doesn't matter how healthy you are on August 15th. It's about August 30th and really week three when you go down to Baton Rouge. I'll be interested to see what their plan is for DJ. I think 100% he's ready to play, wants to play. If it were one of those marquee matchups, I think he would play fully, no restrictions. But because of the opponent, I wonder how a bunch of the veteran guys will be handled. I mean, you'd like to shoot. I would like to see offense comes out, 75-yard touchdown pass, second drive, touchdown. Hey, guys, thank you. Hit the showers. You know, and then get all the young guys reps the rest of the game. This, no disrespect to LIU, just is what it is. This, that's kind of how the game should be for Florida. This should be old school. Yeah. When I was growing up, the openers that you had to buy on pay-per-view. It should be one of those kind of games, one of those kind of scores. I guess we'll hear from Billy. I would expect to see DJ. I wouldn't expect to see him the whole game. I would hope not. Even if he were healthy all offseason.
Yeah, we should see him
in the fourth quarter.
Regardless of the noise, we shouldn't see him. We should not want to see him. We want to see him, but we should see him as little as possible. I think it'll be amplified how little we see him. But yeah, there's a super chat there for you, Dan.
Yeah.
We got some negative super chats today. I'm not loving these super. I mean, we're going to read them, and I appreciate you guys giving us money, but I want something positive. John Wilcox asks, what's the first game DJ loses that he starts and finishes? Go Gators.
Who y'all think we playing in Natty like next year?
That's a good answer. I agree. LSU next year in the Natty. I agree.
Yeah.
Tough.
And a triple overtime.
I don't want to prognosticate on losses right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
You waste your money, John.
Yeah,
you waste your money.
Yeah, we could send it back. Let's send it. We'll donate it to charity. Yeah, no, I don't want to prognosticate on losses here. That's not what we want to do.
Yeah, what if we give you five different answers and we just jinx them? Like, that's just uncalled for.
Yeah.
Well, this is also LIU. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, there you go, Dave. I appreciate the answer. I want to go round table. I think you guys see it the same order that I do. We got Shelton, Nick, Dave, Corey. Who leads the team in rushing this year? Let's just round robin one name. We're going to do this for a couple positions.
DeBall.
Jane Ball.
Ball.
Like a clock, Corey.
Barely. Ooh, not like a clock. Barely.
Yeah, Jane Ball. This writing's on the wall.
I like Jacoby Jackson. All right, who leads the team in
receiving yards?
Give me EW3, baby.
EW3, okay.
That's Eugene Wilson. Yeah.
Nick?
J. Michael Sturdivant.
Mm.
J. Mike from me, too.
Give me Eugene.
Okay, we got another super chat. Miami 41-17. Appreciate your money. Appreciate the money.
I think that's a joke.
He's a Gator.
Oh, gotcha.
He's part of the crew. Yeah. He's mocking Miami fans. Mocking Miami.
My bad. No, I pre. Yeah. It's just like the one time they talked about Miami having a loud stadium that one year in 2017 against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I saw that clip. About.
Like,
I
bookmarked it. Plug in their ears.
I bookmarked it. We'll be back.
$9.99. Do you have that much life on it?
No, not much.
Okay. No.
I used to have a lot more, Nick. It keeps going down. I don't know how a stock can go down every single day, but every day I get a notification on Robinhood. It's like down another 5%. All right. Jake Slaughter, All-American offensive lineman. Do you think he repeats?
Ooh.
Next season.
Yeah.
Season. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Check mark.
One sentence or so, what's your biggest concern about offense? Shell.
Sticking to negativity. No, I think it's going to be, I don't say play calling because I'm not, I'm a fan of the playbook. It's going to be the play, what's being called at the moment, just the momentum, the flow, their ability to call the right play at the right time. Again, I like the playbook when it's utilized properly. Just don't give me a jet sweep of fourth and one. Just run up the middle with your 6'4", 240-pound quarterback. You know what I mean? So that's my concern. It's just that his Nape's feel of the game of, or Russ's feel of the game, whoever's calling it.
Nick?
Injuries due to depth at quarterback, offensive tackle, safety.
You just asked about offense.
We just talked about offense,
you're really just
quarterback offensive thing. Line. Quarterback and offensive line. Mm. Offensive tackle. Okay. Not offensive line.
Potential injuries. Negative Nick. Okay. All right, Dave.
Full swing.
Pass blocking for the offensive line. I thought DJ kind of bailed him out a good bit toward the end of last year. I think they got better. But at the same time, if there's some injury question with Lagway, some maneuverability questions for Lagway, and plus just given how we saw it last year, he made some plays. He was the one shuffling and you know, throwing guys off and completing passes to Ole Miss and FSU at the same time. So taking that next step in pass blocking for me.
Okay. Corey?
For me, personnel usage, getting like some of the talent's been there for a while, especially like Eugene Wilson. He just hasn't been used correctly. We got a lot of talent in the receiver room. So being able to use all that talent and maximize what we got on that roster is just, you know, mind-boggling on my end. And I want to see if Billy can figure it out on his end on how to get everybody in the right position at the right spot, the receiver position, getting your best four on the field and getting those guys the ball. We're not wasting too much talent on orbits, emotions, et cetera.
Love it. Couple of super chats, Dan.
Super chat. After the W, September 13th, Gators will play in Death Valley at LSU that day. They won't be stopped. Appreciate Bush Latte. Love the name, too.
Great names. And I got to agree with him.
All right. And then Nick Renfro. Billy gets coach of the year this year, boys. Go Gators. Wouldn't that be hot takes? Huh?
Yeah. He takes his boys to a playoff. I mean, how do you argue that, right?
Solid take. I ain't mad at it.
Yeah.
I mean, given where things were.
This team goes,
9-3, 10-2. I mean, 10-2, 100%, he's got to be coach of the year. 9-3, again, I think we talked like it just depends on how things kind of shake up. But playoff berth, yeah. I would be, unless Sam Pittman just does something incredible. Like think of guys who can win this thing, come out of the clouds. Hugh Freeze is another one that Pittman's can.
Barbecue.
Sorry?
I said, Pittman's barbecue. He ain't
okay, all right. Never mind. Just disregard.
There might be a lot of sympathy votes if James Franklin wins the Big Ten. Is there some sympathy votes there?
No, because the expectation is a national championship.
Thinking, yeah.
It's not a Big Ten.
Everybody says he can't beat Ohio State, that he can't win the conference because he can't get over those big teams in the league. If he finally wins the Big Ten, I think you can see some sympathy votes there.
Well, maybe we'll allow the asterisks of SEC Coach of the Year. Because he hasn't been close.
Okay, that's fair.
Any of those. And then Unique Productions, appreciate you. Billy is the answer, LMAO. And another one. My fear is that we will never go five wide. I don't know if it's in Billy Napier's playbook to go five wide.
Hey, hold on. I'm calling it now. We are going to go five wide. One of those will be a tight end.
yeah, or check the running back out. Yeah,
with a tight end and a running back.
Two tight ends. I want to get into the defensive side of that.
I get it there.
Real quick though, 600 strong boys. Be sure to smash the like button and subscribe to all channels. Let's get after it. We got one more super chat too.
Dan. We got one more super chat. Bones. Florida fans unite and we all become Bill Evers.
Oh like my that. God! What a marketing play right there, bro.
I mean, that could be a. Great
should we put
t-shirt.
It on a tee?
Someone needs to trademark that early.
It'll be on a tee after the show, boys. It'll be on a tee after the show.
I knew that was coming.
No, not yet. Not yet. You got to earn it. Don't do that, Sheldon.
Well, no, we want to be believers. You got to be a believer before you're right. Like it's pre.
Yeah.
It's a pre-thought.
We were selling scared money, don't make money shirts.
Exactly.
Like you want to.
You make that shirt and we go score 20 points versus LIU. Like.
So what's, when's, where's well, did, the line? Then well, that
did, I, did, didn't you just wear the same shirt, put an X over it?
See, you can double down. That's we're making it. We're making it. And then we're going to, if he sucks, we cross it out. Oh, it's a win-win. That's incredible.
When Aiden Warner throws for 400 against LIU, I'm going to be insufferable on the internet, on Al Gore's internet.
Oh, you already are insufferable on the internet.
You think
got one more super chat. We got one more super chat. I want to get to the defense.
Well, this is a perfect transition.
Can we hold that one for a second?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then come back. All right, so Gator's returning 62%. No, I just want to kind of keep some sort of semblance here. 62% of last year's defense is returning. Gators went from allowing 27.3 points per game up until the bye week and then 13 points a game after that bye week. Can Florida carry that defensive momentum going into next year? Dave, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think so. After years and years and years of talking about believing, of not believing in the defense, I'm a believer now. I think they found their stride last November. Ron Roberts making that switch to being the primary play caller, I think did so much. For, I mean, you could see it. It wasn't, you know, an immediate part of where of what we saw against LSU and Ole Miss. You know, it took some time to get there, but you did see it once that first bye week, and you saw. Now, I think some offenses that they played into it too. UCF, Tennessee's offenses weren't that great, but then you played Georgia and you turned over Carson Beck. But you know, the games like Tennessee, the games like Georgia, where you saw the defense play better, but the team came up short anyway. You started to see it. And then after the shellacking and, you know, in Austin, you get your pieces back with DJ coming back on offense. But then, you know, they're able to come up with something against LSU and Ole Miss. So there were signs that it was turning around. And then November came and we absolutely saw it. So I think they do pick up where they left off. And I think it's just a defense that is going to show a lot of what they showed in November.
Real quick, I messaged Nick about this and he ghosted me like a while ago. Tommy Cruz is my neighbor. He says he knows you, Nick. I need the confirmation. TC here.
Tommy Cruz is my guy since before high school, I think. Tommy Cruz, okay. We played baseball together. What up, TC?
That's what he said. Appreciate you writing back to me, Nick.
Better than you.
Yeah.
Tommy Cruz used to wear a Minnesota Twins hat because it said TC on it. Twin Cities, Tommy Cruz. That's how well I know Tommy.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I live next to the guy. All right, Nick, you can go.
Corey, what do you got? Corey, what do you got? Can Florida keep their defensive momentum going into next year?
I hope so, in the words of Kodak.
I hope so.
I think they do, man. I'm excited about the defense just as much as I'm excited about DJ Lagway. A little concerned at the secondary safety spot, but a good pass rush just fixed a lot of your safety problems, even if we go young. I just think, man, that front seven is going to be so much pressure. I feel real good about the defensive tackle position. While there were some concerns because of who we lost to North Carolina and, you know, Shivers being dismissed from the team. But when you look at the bones of it, we have a lot of size. We have some depth getting past, you know, Banks of the world, and also Jamari Lyons behind those guys. We have solidified defensive tackles. So I feel real good about us attacking the pass. I think we're going to have one of the best pass rushes in the country between Grubbs, the freshman Jaden Woods. We already seen what Tyreek Sapp brings to the table. And I think we're going to have one of the top 20 defenses in the country is where I got us at.
Nick?
Yeah, I think this is a top 20 defense. I think it'll be interesting to me. I've got that LSU game circled. That'll be a huge game night in Death Valley. The other big one, I think there's a lot of veterans that came back. Like Marcel Reed made Florida look bad last year. Going to College Station, getting a chance at him, you're going to have to keep him contained. He's a significantly better runner than he is a passer. probably below average as a passer, so you need to keep him contained. I think George Gums is going to lead. That was probably to save that for the super chat, but I think George Gums will lead the team in sacks. Tyreek Sapp, you just have a ton of guys. You're going to get LJ McCray back at some point during the year. Mekhi Barreau, Brian Taylor, Caleb Banks, and Jamari Lyons. I think that's a solid four. Jeremiah McLeod has had a really great camp. You're four or five deep at linebacker. I think you have – I'd put Florida's three starting safety – or starting cornerbacks. You can throw in Shreve Denson at nickel up with anyone else in the SEC. Like, I think this defense has a chance to be really, really good, like Corey said, top 20 defense in the country.
Okay. Shelton.
Real quick. How many are we scooping? I'm just – talk to me. you gotta be quick, boys. I just need to know. We're feeling out the room here.
Thanks, Danny, need to be tweeting about AI some more.
Yeah, nuts. Oh, hey, good work though.
That's hey, quick bad. With it. You know, you gotta be worse. You gotta be quick with it. You gotta be quick with it. Look, speaking to the question,
can Dave wear that to a press conference?
Dave, I mean, did you imagine? You show up to that with that? I'll send you one if you wear it, if you promise to wear it.
I thought somebody was going to find me to Vegas last night to ask a recruiting question.
Oh, bro. So, look, I think for me, a big thing that I keep saying is I think the returning production is a big one, but more so the fact that we have a coach for every position. We've got a safety coach. We've got a linebacker coach. We've got a cornerback coach. Everyone has a job. I feel like this defense, the entire time that Billy has been here, has been tossed around, one from defensive coordinator. So we're going back-to-back years now with a healthy transition. Because even last year, even though Osmond Armstrong held the title, there clearly wasn't a seamless transition of from year to one to year two. He came in to babysit, and there was a hiccup there. And not only do we have a seamless transition of a guy taking over, you're having coaches in every position group. So something does happen in the middle of the game, you're not having three coaches trying to manage all these players. I think that's going to be the bigger factor on top of just the fact that these guys are, we've got a lot of top NFL talent that will be there as well.
Absolutely. All right, pull up that super chat. I'm going to give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit Game Time Sidekicks. Really cool mugs and cups like this, or the one Nick has. Corey has one as well. We gave some away at the Independent Media Day that we did a few weeks ago. Go visit them, GameTimeSidekicks.com. A lot of products for the University of Florida, a lot for other schools. They do play in the NIL space as well. It's owned by a Gator fan living in Knoxville, Tennessee. So go support him. We'll even throw you the Stadium and Gale promo code. It's STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. We appreciate Tyler and the boys over at Game Time Sidekicks. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. All right, Cody Moore asked this super chat question earlier. Tyreek Sapp, 10.5 sacks, over, under. Gators have not had a player since 2018 get more than 10.5 sacks in a game. For a quick bonus point, does anybody know who it was without looking it up?
Ja'Kai Polite?
2018. I was about to say Ja'Kai Polite.
Dave wins. Quick off the dome. Over under Tyreek Sapp, 10.5.
My mic was muted. I said it first, but I was muted.
Lip reading. Definitely heard that. Yeah.
I saw you say it too, Nick. We were first. It was close between me and you.
All right. I'm turning the camera off.
I'm going to go under. Under for Sapp. I think he's right around. He had 7 last year. I think he's right in that 7 to 10 range. I think he will have the opportunities because you have other guys on the other side. Like, you're going to get one-on-one opportunities. I just think I've seen a little bit more speed and explosiveness from George Gums. Like, watching practice, like, there's times where both Tyreek and George are just like, they're ruining what the offense is trying to do. And it's almost like, hey, you guys, like, take a beat, take a break. We actually need to get, like, the offense in practice. Like, George Gums, I think, has had – a phenomenal camp. He's my pick to lead the team in sacks.
George Gums. Okay.
I'm gonna go under. In the same breath, it's not to be negative, but I just think there's a lot of other talent that will have the ability to eat. I think these guys are on a team mindset. I remember, I think we had, it was Princely on, and we talked about him chasing the number 10. And his, again, just very me first player, which is fine. But I just don't think that team is in that mindset. I don't think he'll focus on it. If it gets close, I think that things will change. But I don't think that's the agenda. So I think it's for good reason he doesn't get the over, because there's everyone else is going to be eating.
I'll just repeat that pretty much. I'm on the same. I'm on the same. That Seth gets 15 there. Hey Nick, I did want to bring up. Do you? I guess I'll just turn the question around, since you're saying maybe Gumsley's think would. Do you think Gums would get over 10.5 then?
Yeah, I think Gums.
Okay.
I think Gums could get close to the UF record. The UF record is like 13.5.
What's Nick know, boys? He's been going to a lot of practices as of late. I mean, that was from the clouds. What?
It's not what I was expecting at George Gums' historic season. I mean, I was expecting big things, but.
Holy.
George Gums a freak.
Up your George Gums Heisman bets, boys.
First rounder,
drive
he's saying.
Over to the Hard Rock. Get your plus 500,000 George Gums Heisman.
Once NIU wide receiver. First round ballot Hall of Fame edge rusher. I mean, come on. Did you see it? Put it on your bingo card. 700 strong, boys. Let's get it.
All right. Let's get back. Hey, Shelton, can you share the design that I made? Can you see that?
No, I'm not going to do it. It's better than mine. Show it later on.
No, you got to. We'll get this one for Dave.
I know. I got you. Hold on. I'm trying. I promise. I'm not trying to share it. Hold on, let me just. I think I might have to get rid of Dave. Hold on, Dave.
Bye, Dave. What are we doing?
This is a fashion. What is this? A fashion panel? What are we doing?
Would you wear that one, Corey?
Yeah, but you're borderline about to get sued.
We don't play by those rules around here, Corey.
I don't think you're getting sued. I believe there will be a very strong cease and desist.
For sure.
Yeah, they don't have enough money to sue us. We don't have enough money to be sued is probably the better way.
And we'll finally get recognition from the University of Florida. So win-win.
They'll finally get back to us, right?
Yeah. Appreciate you guys seeing my message. There's like 9 more super chats, Dan, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Yeah. Go. Let's roll through.
Okay.
It's like a late night disc jockey just leaning into his microphone. Whispering.
If Lagway goes out, it's not the end of the world. Thanks, Young Mac Official 4771.
Hell of a profile pic.
Shout out to Velveeta.
I mean,
who is the
consider?
Who is that?
Consider my Velveeta. Mind changed.
That's Young Mac, obviously, Dave.
Yeah, like what do you mean? Who is that? Young Mac 4771. Gosh, dude,
you're showing your age, Dave. You know, yeah, young cheese.
Jacoby Jack Burner, dude. Lock it in, bro.
All right. What else? What else we got? Himothy Mozgov. Go Gators, fellas. Love y'all's content.
Sounds like a spy.
With a Jimmy Butler photo. Woods is the answer to the Marcel Reed problem. Jaden Woods. We're going to talk about him in a second.
That was it. I popped this one up before.
Yeah, 15 sacks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was on par with what we were talking about.
Let's get into the defensive line real quick.
Well, 16 games, right?
Yeah, 16 games. That's right. Who is your potential defensive line MVP? Let's go in that same order. Shelton, Nick, Dave, Corey.
Well, I just got some inside information from our insider here. I'm going to go with George Gumps. Okay. just buzzed in. Just buzzed in.
I mean, I can't say that about George and then not go with George. So it is a thing, though. So like everyone, I've gotten a ton of questions about Jamari Lyons. Like, how many sacks is he going to get? And like, that position's not about stats. Yeah. That position creates for others. But him, I think Mekhi Burrows had an awesome camp. Like I said, McLeod. I'm blanking on the freshman's name too.
Mbachu.
Yes, Mbachu. Joseph Mbachu's had a really good camp. Brandon Bett's really coming along. So I think that I definitely have seen the depth that Ron Roberts was talking about. Caleb Banks will demand double teams. And then, like, you've got Tyreek and Jordan and LJ McCraven. He comes back. You've got a bunch of guys over on the edge. So it's a group effort. I just, from what I've seen of George Gums, like, just a freak.
I love hearing that about Bett, too, because that's somebody I kind of spoke highly about earlier on in the season. I think there was not the most excitement at first, and it seems like he's making a turn, which I love.
I'm going Tyreek Sapp. I think he'll be the MVP up front. I just think that just mean streak, the professional approach he takes to it all, and kind of the accountability, leadership, all just comes together for Tyreek Sapp to, you know, just kind of pick up where we talked about the defense picking up where they left off. He was a big part of that. And I just think he's one of those guys that continue up front.
Yes, team.
Corey.
Yeah, I like that take. I'm going to go Caleb Banks. I thought Caleb Banks made it go last year. When he started turning it on, you start seeing the edge and the guys like George Gums start coming on towards the end of the season. I think he draws a lot of double teams. He pushes the pocket and helps those DNs when the quarterback got to escape the pocket. So I think Caleb Banks is also going to be just as strong in the run game. He's going to cause some issues there as well. So just give me Caleb Banks. I think he's the machine to the whole defense. I think it starts with him.
I love that, because I think like last year he was a quiet eater. Cam Jackson was such a loud personality that when he did something, it was hard not to see it. And so, but when Cam did something, you kind of looked over, you thought it was, or when Banks did something, you thought it was Jackson. But no, it was Banks back there a lot of the times, but just quietly just getting it done. He just kind of got blended. I love that take for sure.
Ate with his mouth closed. What? While you're saying Cam Jackson was just chomping away.
Linebacker, you're replacing a couple. Derek Wingo, Shamar James gone. You are having a few new guys step into full-time roles. You have guys that look the part. You have guys that look like aliens as linebackers. They're fast, they're big, they're strong, and they're going to hit you. Who do you expect to really step up and be that Gator linebacker this year that we're used to?
What are we doing here, man? That's like a presidential poster. I ain't gonna lie.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to all of them. I think this is going to end up being the most overlooked group in the country. I think when this all is said and done, the country will be on notice for Florida's linebacker group. And I think it don't matter. It don't matter what two are in there most of the time when they're in there. I think I'm so high on that group. I do think by season's end, you know, you look at preseason magazines now and Florida's linebackers group by 6th, 7th, 8th in the SEC. Nah, season's end, they're going to be near the top of the conference. And I think you'll put the country on notice. I think I'm super high on that group.
Love that. Dave's Which picking them all. Right. Corey, who do you got?
Aaron Manchilds.
Like it.
Honestly, that's like that's a old school ESPN boomer nickname there.
I was raised by Stuart Scott and Boomer, man. But I think that like a lot of what Dave said, bro, that room is super talented. Miles Graham, a bunch of guys that get sideline to sideline. Old school linebackers that can fill in and you know, knock some snot bubbles out of your nose as well. We got some guys that could pass coverage. They could do a little bit of everything good. Cause sometimes blitzing is a chemistry thing. Like it's a skill to blitz. And just cause you blitz a lot don't mean you have the time of the snap, know how to get to the quarterback. I think Miles Graham is very good at that. And also just a leader, but I just think Aaron Childs is the most freakish in that room. And I hear his name a lot when other players talk about who's balling. They keep talking about Manchild. So that's who I got.
Mm-hmm. We need to get a shirt. Nick, who do you got?
All right, one sec.
I'm going to go with one that I think we expect and the one that we probably don't expect, doesn't really get talked about as much. I think Miles Graham will be the guy. start every game as long as he's healthy. The guy at middle linebacker. And then I think Jaden Robinson, because of Pup's injury, Jaden Robinson has kind of gotten those reps. I think Aaron Childs plays a very different role. He's almost like a Sam linebacker, where, you know, Jaden Robinson and Miles Graham, I view more as kind of like Mike's. But I think Jaden Robinson's been phenomenal. This is a guy who's just instinctual at a linebacker, great tackler. As a room, I think I haven't seen them cover tight ends a lot, cover, you know, get into that realm. But like Corey said, in terms of like against the run, they do run sideline to sideline really well. I agree with what you guys said. I think it's an underrated room when you get a healthy Pup back. And then you've kind of got Ty Jackson there waiting as a true freshman. Another instinctual linebacker. So I think it's five deep. Ty from the Mup.
No, man. 5'6" is acreage. 5'6" Loxahatchee a little bit. Yeah, but it's 5'6".
I believe Billy Napier said he had the best high school tape he's ever seen before.
He just has to talk.
Quiet. Yeah, I think Dave said it right. I think it's all of them. Because if you say one name, the comment section is going to go, what about this one? What about this person? Jade Robinson. What about Jade Robinson? It's not that we're not thinking of them. That's just how good this room is. If you say one name, somebody's going to up you or try to up you with another name. The room's incredible. I haven't been quiet on them this entire time. It's exciting because I feel like for the last couple of years, we've just gone from a linebacker to linebacker, right? We went from Ventrell to Shamar. This is a room. And now we've just got a plethora. We've got a whole platter full. Like, which one do you want? And I think this was what's also going to help this team just be, we talk about the line, but this linebacker room, again, I think you were spot on there too. I think Corey said with just the timing of it, guys can get back to the backfield and run, you know, get back there quick, but understanding of getting there, it's like going and taking the Apple GPS, right? Which is the fastest route. Miles Graham always takes it. And these guys are great in coverage too. They've got a ton of speed. And any of them out there at any time can do the job effectively and efficiently. And I think that's what's going to make it even better is because it doesn't matter which two or even three, if you want to, are out there. There's no sweet spot where you're at. When before, I mean, we had no disrespect. We had RJ Moten running around out there. But and that's tough. So
I love Legendary it. Pro Day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know he's done some great things. He's playing in the NFL right now.
I think he's still on the Patriots roster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I said. No disrespect.
I think he survived cuts so far.
Yeah. Shiloh did not. Sanders did not.
No, either did Des Watson.
Oh, big Des got cut.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, he's got to cut the weight.
Yeah, brutal.
Apparently that's still Florida's. That's still Florida's problem somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just wild to me. Wild to me. Like what?
All right, let's get into defensive backs. We're going to talk about corners, nickel, safety, concern. Well, actually, let's talk about excitement. Who are you guys most excited about in the DB room? Shelton.
Where do I start?
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, most excited about, I want to see what 25, like how he matures and take that next step. Kermani Kane, he's probably the highest rated guy in that room as far as coming from as a high school prospect. Size, things you can't teach, like instincts, he has all of that. He has to take that next step and just, you know, learn how to operate in zones, stay disciplined, eye discipline, not get greedy. But if he really has taken that next step and honed on his skills, right, I think we have a very special shutdown guy, and we can, you know, do a lot of blitzes and get real sexy with how we attack quarterbacks if he can shut down one side of the field. And I think he has that ability. So Kermani McClain also tested speed-wise one of the fastest kids on the team. Like with all that talent that he has, I didn't think he was one of the fastest kids on the team. So Kermani got my attention. I think he's a shutdown corner.
Dave.
I'll go. He's finally healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy. Let's go Devin Moore. When he's been on the field, has shown he belongs, shows that he can probably be, you know, the best corner on the field when he's on the field. So, of course, the old adage, and I know everybody's heard it 10 million times, but the best availability, you know, the best ability is availability. So, but for him, that truly is the case, because I think he can be a special corner. And I think you pair that with what Corey just said about Cormani, and it should give Florida a good, I think, 1-2-3 punch at corner to throw along with Dijon there. But, you know, him staying healthy will go a long way in this. But I do think if he is healthy, I think Devin Moore is gonna, you know, he'll be on draft boards. He'll be that guy you just don't worry about at corner.
Mm-hmm. Shelton.
Kamani's obviously a top one. I'm excited to see what Ben Hanks does. I think we've been kind of blessed with some young guys stepping up over the last couple of years. And I mean, look. We talk about the quarterback room and staying healthy. That cornerback room is just as vital. If Devin Moore has proven to not be healthy for a consistent period of time, we're going to be dipping into that younger part of the room. So I've heard Ben Hanks' names a lot this camp, and he's really solidified himself as that fourth guy. So I'm hoping to he kind of steps in there and makes some moves, kind of like what Jordan Castell did his freshman year. Maybe not the complete takeover because we needed Castell to do that, but shows flashes when he's needed to step up and step in.
Nick.
Yeah, echo everything that Corey said about money, about Cormani. I'll go with, I see the chat's talking about Aaron Gates, a healthy Aaron Gates, 100%. He's just a ball hawk. I'm going to go with Dijon Johnson. I think we saw what he could be towards the end of the year. And I don't know that he's going to start or that Cormani's going to start. Like I said, I really view that as three guys with Demo, Cormani, and Didi. But I think Didi has looked good, was banged up a little bit at the beginning of camp, got cleared, has been good. I love those starting three. And then I think Ben Hanks is putting himself into a position where he might be the fourth guy, just to prop up Shelton's take a little bit there too.
Ooh. All right. I think that's going to bring us towards the end of our show here. We got a couple more super chats. Who leads the team in interceptions this year? Shelton, start with you.
Caleb Banks.
You saw his mouth move, and you heard
Caleb Banks.
Now his mouth is moved.
Yeah. That was perfect.
That was good.
No, Shelton, for real. I think you are all muted.
I mean, the first time I started a podcast.
Damn. I'm literally hosting this on my server. I think Cormani McClain. I think his press coverage, how he plays, I think he'll be ball hawking a lot this year. Devin Moore's another good one.
Yeah. Nick?
Bryce Thornton.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh.
Mm. Aaron Gates is a good one, too. Damn it.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah. I talked up Devin Moore, but my thing is, if he's as good as I think he will be, teams may shy away from him. So I guess I'll go somewhere else with that. Give me Dijon.
Okay.
25 money year, man. give me some money, man. I like Bryce Thornton.
Bryce Thornton. Somebody said Cormani, Thornton, and Gates. You guys said the entire secondary. That's why you start naming one person and somebody in the chat's got a different name. Who's your defensive MVP overall? Let's do who's your offensive MVP and who's your defensive MVP? Two names. Start with you, Shelton.
I mean, it's got to be DJ on the offensive side of the ball. And then defensively.
He's going to break the sack record. So,
yeah, I mean, that's true. I like Banks. I'm going to steal Corey's take. I think Banks is going to do some special things. Again, defensively, obviously breaking records is huge, but, you know, I think there's more to it than just breaking records. I think Banks is going to be a big factor.
Okay. Love it. Nick.
Lagway Gums.
Okay.
Lagway Gums. That's my presidential ticket.
Not Anna Warner. Yeah. That's cool.
I guess Lagway. I guess there's a Lagway disclaimer. Yeah, Lagway. I'll just for fun, just go somewhere else. I'll go Jaden Ball. You know, then I talked about how deep they were, but I'm going to pick one out. I'm going Miles Graham, defensive MVP.
Yeah, I like that one too. I was thinking about that one too.
Corey.
I'm going to stick with Caleb Banks. I think he's the engine.
What about on offense?
Sweet.
Two super chats, Justin White, and we got one more.
Offense, what about on offense? Man, like obvious. It's only one way, and that's the lag way, man.
Super chat, Justin White. I've got two more questions for you guys. Go back real quick. George Gums planting it on the 50-yard line. Hell yeah. Would love
against
to see
Miami.
That. Would love to see that little twerp that Miami. Offensive lineman, offensive line coach from Miami. Yeah. Oh, sorry. What did I say? I obviously don't know how to read. Rolling with Carlos said, "Love everyone on the pod. Go get it." No, hey, I said I wanted the little the offensive line twerp, their little coach to try to take the flag away from George Gums. Who is your freshman that is going to be the biggest impact this year? Shelton.
Jaden Woods, baby.
Hands down.
Jaden Woods.
I think that's why we're going to be all four across the – that's going to be across the board, right?
Do you think – are you worried because of how many people – Florida – Nick, stop shaking your head. You don't even know my question.
I think you say
– I said no. I was saying no to Dave. That's not my freshman.
Oh, all right. Who's your freshman, Nick?
VB3.
Yeah, I was gonna say VB3 too.
VB3. Okay.
Who you got?
Dallas Clark? Wilson.
Yeah, Jaden. Yeah, Jaden Woods for me.
Jaden Woods for me. Mark me down for 15, bro.
So Nick ruined it. All right, cool. Could have had a cool little thing here. We could have had the graphic like on game day. We could have had them all. You know what I mean?
One thing I will say about probably to Nick's point on that, VB3 might have more of an opportunity.
Touche.
Yep.
Who's he playing? He's playing behind Eugene.
That and special teams.
Is that number three pencil? That was really clever.
It's really pixelated on my end, so I can't see anything.
I picked up what you're putting down.
Right. Yeah, my bad. VB3 is going to return kicks, potentially return punts, and is going to play on offense. He's going to play three sides of the ball. He's going to be all over the field.
All right, last question. Shout out to Josh.
Get anything past the chat, man. The chat see everything, brother.
Chat's watching.
Smart.
SEC announced nine-game SEC schedule starting in 2026. You're going to have three permanent teams that you're going to play every year. Who do you guys think those three are? I'll start with you, Nick.
I would love for it to be Auburn, but there's no way they make Auburn play Georgia, Bama, and Florida. So I think it's for Florida. I think you get obviously Georgia, obviously Tennessee, LSU. I would love to see that rivalry. That's a really tough slate because I think LSU has to play Bama as well. I would say South Carolina just to give Florida a break. I think if you're being honest, and this will probably get clipped, but if you're being honest, you have to put SEC teams in tiers. And Georgia and Tennessee would be in a top tier most years with Florida, Alabama, Texas. OU makes no sense. I don't think that is a thing. I think that – I don't know why people are running with that tweet. South Carolina makes sense to me. Mm.
Okay. Dave, who do you want the three to be?
or who do I want him to be? I'm a Nick. Give me
Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State.
I mean, they're historic rivalries.
I miss playing Auburn.
go ahead.
Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina. That's who I think it'll be. But I would love for the third to be Auburn. But yeah, it won't be.
Okay, Corey.
I love the LSU rivalry, man.
I love that rivalry.
I don't think it would be.
I like it more than Auburn. I think the Auburn.
For sure.
Florida's played Texas A&M more times in my lifetime than Auburn.
I get it, but I don't want to get rid of that LSU game. Like, I just don't see the. Like, I don't want that.
Like Auburn. Why do you guys want to play Auburn so bad? I don't.
That's
like
what I don't get. Game. There's a weird Florida, obsession.
I mean, that rivalry's been dead for 30 years.
Auburn used. Yeah, but it used to be a yearly rivalry. It was a really good rivalry. It's before all of our time.
Yeah, right. But when they did play, I mean, I remember growing up with it, and these games were classics. They were classics in the mid-90s, and we somehow lost to them in 2001. And, you know, and I mean, it was always a competitive rivalry to me. They have some really good games.
If you're in the league office, though, you have to – put some thought into how fair things are. And for Auburn, if you pair Auburn with Florida, they are playing the Iron Bowl. You can't get rid of that. They play Georgia. That's the I think it's
Deep
the
South oldest rivalry.
You can't get rid of that game. And then to add Florida to it, Auburn fans got to be like, are you serious? Who gets Vanderbilt and Mississippi State because we got these three?
I think we're all in agreement. I think LSU, Georgia, Tennessee is. I don't even care how hard it is, but I actually like your take for South because I don't want Kentucky. That was, I think, going to be the third option. South Carolina is way better. I would be okay with South Carolina. I think that's a fun little. I mean, especially because Spurrier went there for a little bit. That's always been a fun game to watch, in my opinion. Going there is fun to play. Going to Kentucky sucks. I even think for the fans, for traveling purposes.
Going to South Carolina is fun.
I think they got a great stadium, great energy. Yeah. I mean, you want to go to Kentucky?
Columbia, South Carolina as a city stinks. Williams-Brice, cool environment.
It is easy travel, but man, you can go do the Bourbon Trail when you go up to Lexington.
Touche. So. Yep. Touche. I was thinking affordability, boys. Affordability, accessibility, you know?
100%.
All right, Shelton, I think you had a pretty hard stop on time here, so let's wrap this up. Want to give a quick shout out again to our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Firm in St. Pete. 855-652-1377. Anything that you might need around homeowners insurance law, property law, whatever it might be, claims information, pipe leaks, water damage, wind damage, hail, hurricanes, sinkholes, all of that. Go visit them again. Dykus Burke and Lewis, 855-652-1377. And then Game Time Sidekicks. Keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Stadium 15 at checkout, get you 15% off of your order. We really appreciate those two companies for sponsoring tonight. And let's do this again soon, boys.
I was thinking, I was like, maybe we have a halfway mark. Yeah, we got two more. We do like a halfway mark. Yeah. I mean, this is a little bit easier to get together.
Yeah, bye
week right before Georgia.
Well, my kids do that weekend, but we'll play it by ear.
Grow up,
hey man.
I mean, I planned it perfectly.
Priorities together.
Listen,
you're just gonna be in the lobby the whole time.
Yeah, I will. I'm not kidding. I will do it from the hospital. I'm not.
Listen, I have my kids in the summertime.
Yep.
Like both of my kids were born in the summertime before fall camp. Like it's priorities around.
Corey, I get 6 weeks off from work. We're playing chess, okay? In the words of Will Harris, checkmate.
Any Dan Mullen feedback?
You get
it's not Dan Mullen season. Feedback.
I always got time to hate on Dan Mullen. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I always got time to hate on Dan Mullen.
I was wild yesterday.
You sure you got to leave?
I thought the potatoes. I mean, here, look, go ahead, rock and roll. You got a couple minutes. Get it.
The tough loss for Dan yesterday, Corey. They were out jumbo trying.
What happened? No, I think they won the football game, correct?
They were out. They just didn't Idaho cover. State had more. Idaho State had more yards, so they lost.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So Dan lost his opening game. That's a deep cut. You, no one else is picking it up. Dan's picking it up.
No, no, oh, I got you.
Sorry, Dave.
David.
Dave picked it up.
I think Dave did too.
Nick's been full. Hey, Nick's been dialed in tonight. The pencil joke. I mean, he's all over it. The shot at Purdy, not being a shot at Purdy. I mean, he's spot on. Well, not
the I shot didn't take any shots.
Yeah, I didn't take any shots. And I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen, let's wrap up. Everybody, again, thank you guys so much for watching. We had a couple thousand people, I think, probably hop in and out throughout the entire show. Again, we're going to try to do this again during the bye week or sometime around then, and maybe at the end of the season as well. This is the Gator Panel, High Top Sports, Gators Breakdown, and Stadium and Gale. We will see you guys, Gators versus LIU, Saturday, 7 p.m., SEC Network Plus, to watch that game. We'll see you guys there.
See ya.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.